Excited to do today's episode.
Excited. I was looking up stuff and I was like, oh, this is gonna be good. This is gonna be a good time. This is gonna be silly.
It was a little bit difficult. I don't know about you, but it was a little bit difficult to find. What I was doing was trying to find obscure headlines that also led to like weird stories. And I found maybe obscure headlines, but then the stories were kind of like, I wanted to giggle, I wanted to joke, and the stories were a little bit more somber, or the stories were outlandish but the headline gave it away because it was hyper descriptive. But it's okay, I have my multitude of beverages here and I'm ready.
Nice. Me too.
Hello listeners, welcome to the P&E. I'm Julia.
I'm Lex, and thanks for being here with us on this fine, well, it's Sunday today, but it will be Thursday when you hear this.
Yes. Hopefully. But what is time anymore?
Made up. Doesn't matter.
What even? I know. It doesn't matter.
It's like that. I was going to say, it's like, and whose line is it anyway? Like, where the game's made up and the points don't matter.
That's pretty much life, I feel like. That's just how life is. I thought that we could, I'm like almost cringing doing this, but I thought we could check in with each other by answering a prompt. And the reason I'm so cringy is because I just got thrown back into like 10 years of corporate culture where it was like, let's do an icebreaker.
I'm pretty sure I've said it before, but if I had a dollar for every time I've been forced to do an icebreaker via Zoom over the past year, I'd like make a livable wage. Like it.
Yeah. We wouldn't need to beg people to follow us on Patreon, which by the way, we're on Patreon, guys.
Yeah. Follow us on Patreon. A nice segue.
Yeah. So that's okay. I thought we could try it. We could try it and see if how it goes and see if every week we can do a different prompt.
I'm obsessed with this. I love this.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you feel that way now because the prompt is, what did you learn about your child self this week?
All right. We're starting off very early with Lex talks about therapy right at the top of the show. Literally, I talked to my therapist about this yesterday in our session. Like, I had a huge, like, breakthrough realization. So, yeah.
Well, whew. I feel like so many of us, whether in quarantine or in life in general, have been doing this work on ourselves to find out, like, why do I feel the way that I feel? What is contributing to this? Where do I want to be? Who do I want to be? Where do I want to, like, all of these questions. We're all having these, like, we're having this existential reckoning almost as like as a species.
Yeah.
Of like, our brains are finally, like, we had all this time, most of us, not all of us, I know. Thank you so much to the essential workers, the frontline workers, people that are basically keeping the world together. But for the most part, there are have been opportunities for people to sit with their shit and their biases and their trauma and everything and, like, almost not have an out. Like, I personally have been looking for a therapist. Everyone is booked out. Like, everyone is booked solid. Yeah. Which makes me feel great about people utilizing those services and the need for them. But I think we're all having this moment. So I wanted us to, like, have a very almost anchored approach to checking in because I feel like our listeners are going through this too. And so listeners, if you want to send in your, like, what did you learn about your child self this week? We'll do it on our Instagram, the P&E podcast, check it out there. And we'll do it on our Twitter. And just DM us or message us, comment, whatever, like, let us know. But Lex, I'm looking forward to hearing yours because it sounds like you've been doing that work this week.
Yeah. I'll post it on our Instagram. So maybe like 2 or 3 weeks ago, I found this really wonderful prompt on TikTok, which talks about shadow work, which, if you listen to the episode with Chanel, Shadow work, a lot of times, this is what you do in therapy. And the whole idea is like getting back to who you were when you first came into this world kicking and screaming before society put any bullshit on you. So the prompt is something like, think of something that makes you anxious or like generates like a negative feeling in you. Then ask yourself, why do you feel that way? And it's there's like six questions and I can't remember them, but it's really great. I'll post it on our Instagram so that way you guys can see it. So I have been focused a lot on little like, or I've been trying to focus on my younger self for a really long time, and I always get really anxious about it. And I've been very anxious about it because when I was a little kid, I like wanted to be this like world famous actor, or wanted to be a pop superstar, like wanted these like really big things, which I think a lot of kids want. But even going into like my teens, I was like, I'm going to be an actor, like come hell or high water. I will be a professional actor. I don't care if I'm like scrounging to try to do what I want. Like it's fine. And I work a 9-to-5 in like a corporate healthcare job, like absolutely the opposite. So I've been very nervous to confront my younger self because I'm like, she's going to be real disappointed in me. And that makes me nervous. And yesterday or Friday, as I was journaling, it dawned on me that I don't think I am, or it dawned on me that she's not mad at me. She feels guilty that she didn't, like my younger self feels guilty for not basically telling like adults to piss off when they, we've all had this happen, but like I've had moments where, you know, I think it was like 11 and I was singing really loud in the shower and an adult was like, oh my God, shut up. And so I was like, okay, I just won't sing anymore. And it wasn't until like high school when I started singing again. So every time I would do something artistic where somebody kind of like either said it wasn't good or, hey, you can't do that thing, or having family tell me like, sure, if you want to be an actor, here's what you got to do. You got to go to high school, go to college, have a career, get married, have your kids. And then once your kids are grown, then you can be an actor. And it's like, oh my God. Not my mom. My mom was like, my mom was like never said anything like that. My mom was like incredibly supportive, but I've had family say things like that. So, you know, my younger self was like, oh, okay, I guess I have to do that thing and I have to follow the rules. And I have to like keep my head down and shut my mouth and all of that. And so I realized, I was like, oh no, younger me is actually very scared that older me will be disappointed in her. And so that was very emotional. And so I talked a lot about that with my therapist yesterday. And she was like, I wish we were in person, because if we were, I would take you outside right now and I would make you just scream, sing, whatever you want to do, just out in the open, because you're the adult now. You get to tell other people to shut up. Like, you don't have to shut up for anybody. You get to make your own rules. You get to be the person you want to be. You don't have to do that anymore. And in that conversation, I was also like, yeah, you know, like it's been, because for a while I like wanted to be a music major in college. I've been texting you a lot lately of like, oh man, I wish I like knew how to do mashups, and I knew how, wish I knew how to do these things. And I realized, I was like, I can still learn those things. Like, yes, I'm 33, but the talent and the passion for those things is still there. It just, I might have to work a little bit harder and I won't have as much time as I would have if I was 17, but that's okay. Like, those things still exist with me, in me. So that was my discovery of my little self this week.
I love that. Yeah. It's, I mean, we talked about it on the last episode of like, your dreams are moving forward and you can always catch up to them. It just depends on, like, if you start late, you may have to just work in a different way. Or if you have a limited amount of time, you might have to work in a different way, but you can still catch up to them if that's like, if you want to. That's amazing. Have you gone outside and just screamed or sang or did one of those things?
Gone outside, but I very loudly sang in the shower yesterday. So
nice.
I have been singing a lot more. I was literally, before you started this meeting, I was sitting here and like just singing into my mic. I was like, what do I sound like when I sing into this? Yes. And then I have like I've got my guitar sitting in the corner. So I was like, I have new strings for you. So maybe I'll do that later today.
That's amazing. I know you, I have the message from you here because mm-hmm. we love Charlie Puth.
Yeah.
We think Charlie Puth is fantastic. We would love to have him on this podcast. If anyone mm-hmm. knows Charles, connect Charles him to us.
I'll die.
But you, I don't know if you're going to, do you mind if I read your message?
Not at all. I remember this one.
we were talking about like having him on the pod and like what it would be like. And you were like, I would be like, okay, but have you heard of the choral composer, Eric Whittaker? Have you heard those cluster chords? What do you think of modal chord progressions in pop music? And you wrote that to me and I was just like, what the fuck language yeah. are you speaking? And so I hear that passion and I'm like, yeah, like do it. Fucking yeah. do it, dude.
Yeah, I was in choir for a really long time and it's like kind of like reemerging within my soul. And so I've been listening to a lot of Eric Whittaker, which I'd recommend if you are into chamber music, go listen to him. And if you're like, what the fuck is chamber music? Well, go listen. Anyway, I can't really explain it.
We'll make a Spotify playlist because Ooh. That's apparently Ooh. Shit that we can do.
Oh, yeah. I was forgetting that we can do that.
Everything's in the link in our bio on our Instagram. Like, you guys, just go there yeah. and you will discover a treasure trove of mystery. Our selected treasure. Book lists that of books we recommend that are episode related, playlists, literally all of the things.
Yeah.
Do they make mm-hmm. like waterproof ukuleles or waterproof mandolins or water like a small portable waterproof strumming instrument that you can take with you into the shower?
Okay. I was like is she gonna ask me to like go into the ocean and play ukulele for mermaids? Like, where are we going with this? That's where my brain went. I'm sorry,
is that an option? I feel like mermaids could be. I don't want to ever meet a mermaid because I feel like mermaids are probably like Hans Christian Andersen mermaids and not like Disney Ariel Shellbra mermaids.
Yeah. Like they're going to turn into sea foam at the end and it's going to be real
They'll
sad.
They'll just rip your face off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. I was thinking of is that Grimm's Fairy Tales? Also very tragic. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, I know which mermaids you're thinking of now. Yeah, mm-hmm. just the ones that are like, I'll eat you. Yeah, I don't want to meet them. Unless it's a manatee, which they think that's what mermaids were, since manatees look like they have knees.
What?
I mean, the most confused. Like,
so they're... many questions. One,
so...
okay, hold on. Okay, manatees have knees. Also, are they problematic? I keep learning that there are so many different... species of sea mammals
that are the worst
problematic, like
otters.
I recently learned otters mm-hmm. are a problem. Dolphins are rapists.
Oh,
we know this.
And like, race they're the worst.
And what, you froze?
Oh, sorry. And racists.
What,
like, yeah, they'll like beat up I think other dolphins, like if they're, I can't remember if it's other dolphins, no, the porpoises, they'll like gang up on porpoises and just beat the living shit out of them. Yeah, dolphins are the worst. I don't think manatees are, but if you look at a manatee, I don't actually know if they have knees, but they're thin. Like when they move it forward, it looks like they have knees. So it almost looks like legs in a fin, like a mermaid. So there's a lot of belief that when sailors were like, oh, we're seeing mermaids, it was manatees. They're seeing sea cow.
Of course, a man would Science. Look at a manatee and be like, oh, doth hath a lady's knee. Must be a mermaid. Go fuck yourself.
Oh, my God. Lily, doth have a lady's knee. You went on a hike yesterday.
I went on a hike yesterday, and I had an epiphany in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So to answer the question of
yes,
my inner child,
uh-huh.
I have been having these nightmares where I'm back in high school. And I'm literally just, and the thing about it is I went to a high school that was, I had 20 students in my class. Like our entire high school was like maybe 50 people. It was like a pre-K through 12 private school on Staten Island. And I was a scholarship kid and I like didn't get along. Like it wasn't for me.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a good fit for me. And I got bullied. And so my dreams have been me reliving that. Like oh, I'm not Jesus. Looking at myself in the third person. I'm literally back in my body, like reliving those moments that filled me with so much like panic and fear and discomfort when I was in high school.
No.
Yep. Yep.
No.
And I was like, what the fuck? Like, why is this happening? And so I started reading this new book. It's a workbook, actually. It's called The Intuitive Way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of it is like shadow work, but also tapping into your intuition, trusting your gut, honing your gut, being able to open yourself up to listen to kind of the unspoken messages around you, the people around you, the places, the universe, things like that. I started journaling from an exercise from this book and it unlocked something in me. It unlocked two things in me.
Mm-hmm.
One is that I realized this my whole life, I've just been like, oh, why did it suck so much? Why did it suck so much? And then I realized, because I've been interviewing for day jobs, right?
Mm-hmm.
I realized that it wasn't a good fit for me. I wanted to go to a design high school in New York City, but I got a scholarship to a prep school and my mom convinced me that I would have a better chance of getting into college if I went to this prep school. Yes, that is true. But then I went to Villanova, which is very much still a wealthy, white, private, small college,
mm-hmm.
where I also didn't feel like I fit in. I was like, where are all of like my, where is the diversity?
Yeah.
Where are all of the different races? Where are all of the different genders and sexual orientations and like everything? It was literally just like rich white people for the most part.
Yeah. Well, and you've talked about too, like that, where are the creatives? Like, where are those?
Yeah.
I guess the people that you bond with and the people that like speak your language, where are they?
Yeah. Oof. And so I realized that at that time in my life, I felt very much rudderless. I felt directionless because someone was telling me, hey, you're going to have a really good future in you if you invest in these things now. And I trusted that person.
Yeah.
And I am feeling, I realized that the dreams came up because I'm feeling that way now, because I'm feeling like what I want is to continue to be creative and continue producing the podcasts that I produce, being active on social media with the creative things that I produce, you know, all of the, you know, writing our shows, writing our films, doing all of these things. But I'm going through all of these interviews at all of these, because I live in the Bay Area. So I'm going through all of these interviews with all of these tech companies, all of these tech startups and companies about like being a manager here and being a manager there. And it's just like that same dissonance of this is what I should be doing if I want a prosperous life, but it's not what fuels me.
Yeah.
So that's like something. And as soon as I had this epiphany and as soon as I journaled it out and went on my hike and like got it out of my head, I woke up this morning. I had no nightmares at all. I had the soundest sleep of my life. And the other thing that I realized from this is that I had so much trust as a child, as we all do when we're children, that the person that is helping me make these life decisions as a parent like knows what they're talking about.
Yeah.
When in reality, it was a lot of fear that was driving that conversation so that I could be something I'm not, all for the sake of security. I don't fucking like law. I don't fucking like business. I don't like accounting. I don't like all that bullshit. I mean, and so for years and years and years and years and years, I sat through 8 hours of school, 5 days a week for years and years and years learning something that I was told would pay off, but that didn't fulfill me, and wondering why, what was the problem within me that I wasn't getting it? I was like, I'm stupid. I'm struggling in school. I am pushing so hard, and I am reading this textbook and rereading this textbook and zoning out in lectures. And I'm just like in La La Land daydreaming, and I can't focus. And I thought I was the problem. I thought my attention is the problem. I don't have enough of a work ethic. I don't, maybe I'm just stupid. And then I realized, like, no, I'm really smart at the stuff that fulfills me.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the things that I was doing and all the things that I was pushing myself to do were not things that fulfilled me.
Yeah.
And once I started doing the things and focusing on the things that my gut, my inner soul was like pulling me towards, like, oh, this is interesting, let's stick with this.
Mm-hmm.
Hours would fly by and I wouldn't even notice, because I would be so wrapped in whatever it was that I was creating, absorbing, whatever. And so I realized on the one hand that I need to be the person for myself now that gives myself permission and support, most of all, to follow the dopamine.
Yeah.
And to see where it leads.
Yeah, definitely.
And the other epiphany I had was that when I someday become a parent, I need to do the work in my own mind, so that the actions that I put forth, whether verbal or nonverbal, to my children are that of unconditional love and support rather than fear.
Yeah. Rather than like passing on what happened to you to your kids. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Break the cycle. Try my best to break the cycle. But yeah. I mean, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. I mean, I'll probably get the one kid that all he likes to do is eat glue, and we'll figure that out when we come to it. But for the most part, I'm working on being more supportive and accepting to myself and what fuels me and what interests me, and hopefully falling into that groove to be less judgmental, because those aren't my judgments and those weren't my dreams. And I think the one upside is that I don't feel any regret. I don't feel any regret about like all those years wasted and like blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And I honestly just feel relieved that I'm not like a total idiot. I wasn't getting tax code. But that doesn't mean I'm an idiot.
Yeah. Well, it means it's, you know, you're not passionate about the thing. Like, it makes it so much harder to want to do it. And it just becomes a draining. And I don't know if you and I have had this conversation, but I've had a conversation with a friend before who's also an actor. And for a while he was working like a 9-to-5 call center kind of job, or like a sales job. And we were working on a scene together. And I apologize if you can hear
a
rooster.
Roosters?
Yeah, I keep hearing it. And I'm like, shut up. No, I don't. Okay. So I live in Los Angeles, like in the heart of LA. I live in mid-city. It is like, yes, there are homes in the area, but it's like everybody's kind of like crammed in together. And one of my neighbors just has a rooster. And this bitch goes off all the time. It'll be like 2 a.m. I have a stupid sleep app on my phone that like tracks my sleep. And it's like, oh, there was some talking at 2:45 in the morning. No, it wasn't. It's the rooster going off. Like, I can play you the recordings. This son of a bitch. I need to get a new
so
mic.
Hard, I'm wheezing. I'm not even making noise. You know when you laugh so loud that you literally can't make noise?
Yeah, I'm that watching you.
Oh my goodness.
It's so annoying. And I'm like, please stop. Like, I keep trying to put myself on mute so like you don't hear it as much.
You know what? Fuck it. Let him do its thing. What's his name? So what's the rooster's name?
Dickbag is what I call him. I have no idea what his name is. It is insane. It's obnoxious. I've been in meetings this week for work, and somebody will be like, who has a rooster in the background? I'm like, God damn it. Like,
why? You know what? I think
I don't know why.
I think I have the perfect name. Why don't we call him Chad?
Chad.
He's loudly interjecting himself where he's not needed.
He's the third host of this podcast, unfortunately. We can't get rid of him. He's haunting us.
So you were saying your actor friend who was working at a call center.
Yeah. So we had this conversation during a rehearsal one day, and he just looks at me and he's like, "Do you ever wish that, like, we're..." No, I think there's just chickens in the background. What the fuck? Anyway,
Today's
he's like,
podcast episode from the Peony
I know.
is
I'm just
brought
like,
to you by Tyson's Chicken. No, just kidding, but
well,
hey.
I'm just like, bitch, we are trying to have a serious conversation over here. Like, shut up. I might just.
This episode is brought to you by Nuggies.
Nuggies, yes.
Why are there never enough, but also the perfect amount?
What's wild? So my window is open, I will say. I'm like, oh, I could close my window. There's single pane windows. Like, even if I close it, it's not gonna do anything. So I'm like, this is just it. Yeah, but he looked at me and he was like, do you ever wish that you could just be happy, like, with an 8 to 5? Like, that would be enough for you. Like, you could go do your 8 to 5, have your vacation once or twice a year, get married, have kids, and like that would be it, and that would be enough for you. I'm like, yeah, sometimes. And I'm not saying like people who do enjoy those lives, like, it is not to like shit on that. It just feels like because that is the socially acceptable decision and thing to go like for your life, that it's just easier to exist in the world versus like telling people you're a creator or you're an actor. I can't tell you how many times like I've told people I'm an actor and the response is like, oh, so you're a waiter. Oh, so you're a bartender. Oh, so what's your real job? Like, and then it fucking sucks when you're like, well, I pay my bills by working in an office manager position or whatever the fuck it is. Like,
No. At that point, you just fucking commit because what you are doing is you are playing the role as you are an actor playing an actor. So you literally commit, and when they ask you that, you just respond with, "I'm an actor.
Yeah.
I'm
Well,
a working actor. How does it fucking feel?"
suck it. Yeah, well, what I've started doing, and I recommend this to any creatives. So for a while when people would ask me, "Oh, what are you doing?" It felt just easier to be like, "I'm a project manager for a healthcare company." And like they'd be like, "Oh, that's cool, great." But then you start to believe that that's what you are and like that is your job, even though I knew for me being an actor or professional actor is like the goal. And I was listening to, I don't even know what podcast, but they were like, if you're an actor, even if you are working another job to pay your bills, and so if somebody asks you what you do, you're an actor. Like, whether you just made $30,000 from a commercial or you just did a reading for your friend's play for free and you've never been paid for your work ever, but that is the goal. You tell them you're an actor, and when they question you, like what you just said, you keep telling them, I'm an actor. Because then it becomes true for you. And just because you're not making your money off of that doesn't mean that's not your job and that's not your career. So,
100%.
yeah, but.
100%. And you know what else you should say next time? You should be like, "I'm an actor," and they question it. You could be like, "No,
Did
I'm
I
an
stutter?
actor." Like, and why
Yeah.
don't you add a little sprinkling of a little bit of extra, some sprinkles on the sundae, and just be like, "Can't you tell by my acting like I care about this conversation?" And then just walk
Ooh, a
away.
zinga, zinga,
And
zinga.
then walk away.
I haven't had those conversations in a while because those predominantly took place in like an Uber or a Lyft. I haven't taken an Uber or a Lyft in a while, so it's been real nice.
Doing an
But yeah.
Uber pool or whatever those like ride
Oh
share
God.
things
Yeah.
are such a roll of the dice.
Yep.
And even when
Yep.
I was living in LA and I was dirt poor and I had to Uber somewhere, I would reallocate like food money or utilities money to pay for a private Uber or Lyft because I was like, there is no fucking way that I would rather eat chips and salsa every day for the next 2 weeks, then have to sit in a car with with a total rando that you don't know what's gonna happen. They could just put on their headphones, look out the window, and ignore everyone around them, or they could launch into like a whole, "This is the politics of the cheddar industry. It's all a conspiracy." You never fucking know. It's a roll of the dice.
Yeah, I will say I am a big fan of the Uber pools because of the chaos that comes into play. My favorite I've two. One was actually like very inspiring. It was me and this guy. I think the driver was like a music producer. And then we wound up picking this kid who was like 18. He was 17 or 18, still in high school. We picked him up from like homecoming and we were taking him back to his house. But he was telling us that he was an actor as well. And he's like, yeah, I'm in my last semester as a high school student. And he was a baby, and just the way he was talking about, like, yeah, you just gotta do what you gotta do. It's never too late. Blah blah blah. Like, he was just so full of like positivity, yes, and just like wisdom. And the driver and I were both like, dude, you're changing our lives. It was amazing.
Hold on. How many years ago was this?
This was like 2 or 3 years ago. It was a while ago.
He's a Gen Zer.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
On the mountain yesterday,
mm-hmm,
I don't even know if it was a mountain. It was a steep ass hill. I'll say that. I got winded. There were so many Gen Zers, and I can tell, mm-hmm, because like there were literally like, I saw one dude that was like 6'2" in, mm-hmm, all baby pink. I saw another, and I shouldn't project their pronouns because I don't know them, so I'm sorry. And then I saw someone else that he was wearing a corset and like a flower crown. And, mm-hmm, it's just like, gender is a construct. Fashion is bullshit. Like, personality and confidence make you who you are. And Gen Z has it in bulk. And we were just walking down the mountain and I just see these like amazing people from unrelated groups. And I'm like, mm-hmm, I fucking love Gen Z, dude.
I also love seeing the role models that they have now. I think we talked about, mm-hmm, this, but like, I love the fact that Gen Z is growing up with somebody like Lil Nas to kind of like be at the helm in a way.
Yes.
I've seen a lot of millennials who are like, God, I wish we had had that, you know, like we had Glee, which, you know, cool, but it was like a very limited representation of the queer community.
Yeah.
But the other thing, and this always makes me like so emotional, is that, mm-hmm, millennials and Gen X, we lost an entire, especially in the queer community, lost an entire generation, mm-hmm, due to the AIDS epidemic. Like, we lost role models and potential, like, people to help us pave the way in terms of embracing our queer identity. And that's just like fucking devastating to think about. And this was like on a Twitter thread or something a few months ago. Somebody pointed that out and I just like broke down. I was like, oh, okay. That's a bit, you know, that's a big, mm-hmm, part of it too. I love that. Like, and y'all can roast the shit out of me for having a side part. I don't care. It's fine. Like, I just love that they are so, in so many ways, very comfortable and confident with themselves. And I love that.
Yeah.
It's inspiring. But yeah, that kid was like, just listening to him talk about life and art, and then the driver got in on it and I did, and like we were all just like, this is great. Like, and it was such a like hodgepodge of people. So that was a great time.
And then, like, a very LA carpool. Should we get to our main segment?
Yeah, let's do that.
Yay! So our main segment, we pulled news stories,
mm-hmm,
I think two each. And what we're going to do is we're going to play a little game where one of us says the headline of the news story and the other person has to guess what it's about. And then the original person says, like, this is what it's really about. And I'm so excited. I'm a little nervous, but mostly excited. Would you like to go first? And I will guess.
Here's the thing. I think I screwed up on the assignment because I'm like, oh no, I didn't know we were doing a guessing game. I just picked ones that were like wildly dumb.
That's totally fine. You can just give me the headline, even if it like spoils it or whatever.
It will absolutely spoil it. That's
totally fine. I'm sure I will have other questions that I will then answer for myself, and that'll be my guess.
Okay.
Let's just try it.
Okay, great. So the first one made me laugh so hard. Georgia man who received 91,515 pennies as final paycheck cashes out.
91,000.
Mm-hmm.
pennies is how many is $910? Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like $915. Well, I can see
why he left that job.
It gets a little like, I wouldn't even say wild. It does just in like a very quiet kind of way. Mm-hmm.
So I think
you want to guess any like weird stuff that happened? Okay.
So I think I saw this headline, but didn't bother reading the article. Didn't this dude's owner like lube up the pennies, and that like it wasn't enough that he paid him out in pennies. Yeah. He also like lubed them up and then scattered them all over like the guy's driveway or something. And so the
I have questions
like,
yes,
one, what kind of business is this? Where did he work? What did he do? What do I think?
Yeah.
I think he probably worked at like, it was like a Dunder Mifflin situation where it was like a corporate franchise office with shitty cubicles and a middle manager that is just like hates his life and thinks it's cool to still take a scooter to work, even though you live in suburban Secaucus. Like, I'm totally just making this up.
Yeah.
I think that guy was like the only, I think he was the Toby. I think the guy that quit was the Toby. He was the one that didn't get any respect, but actually knew exactly what he was talking about and no one would listen to him. And at one point he finally was like, I'm fucking fed up. Like, all of y'all are fucking morons and I need to go somewhere where I'm going to be appreciated and paid more than $910 every 2 weeks. And I think the middle manager, because he hates his life so much and wants to make everyone as miserable as he is, was like, oh, I have this evil plan and this is how I'll concoct this and this is how I'll do it. And then he does it. And then I know that Coinstar helped the man to like convert it, but I still don't know. The gap is how the pennies were actually collected. Like, did Coinstar come to like a representative, like a Roto-Rooter, but it's Coinstar? Did a representative from Coinstar come with a van, and the van, the back of the van opens up and there's just like a whole mechanical system and you extend a hose and you just... And then it spits out cash, or do they then check, or like, did someone have to like go by hand and pick up all these lubed pennies? Also, what kind of lube was used?
I can answer most of those questions. And I love your idea that this guy was Toby, and this is like Dunder Mifflin. It was not, it was, so he was a mechanic at an automotive shop and he quit. According to a few people that like in this article, they were like, yeah, the manager or the owner of the company is just like such a dick, super misogynistic, made a lot of demeaning comments towards the female employees, like an absolute asshole.
Chad.
Yes, a total Chad. And so he quit and his boss like refused to give him his final check. So eventually he went to the Georgia State Labor Board and was like, I haven't got my final check from this guy. Like, this is bullshit. So they were getting involved, and as like in the most passive aggressive way possible, he just rolls up with like 91,000 pennies, which I was like, aren't we in like a shortage of pennies? Where did he have these 91,000 pennies from? I have a lot of questions about where those showed up. So it's, I think it's automotive oil. It was oil that he used to like slick these up, and he just dumped them on his driveway. The guy that this happened to, his last name's, I think, Flatten is his last name. This is the victim of this whole nonsense. He like scooped them up into a wheelbarrow. So wheelbarrow.
Yeah.
Okay, I was like, am I saying this word right?
Yeah.
Scoop them up. And he was actually in the process of like cleaning them by hand. And he was like, yeah, I was cleaning, you know, as many as I could for like an hour or two every single night. But I would only get through like $5 worth, which is like 500 pennies. So it's It's a lot of pennies to clean oil off of, but it was taking forever. I don't know how Coinstar got involved, but they heard about it and they were like, we got you. Here's $1,000 in cash. Like, just take it. So they actually paid him more than what the pennies were. And they just took the pennies. They were like, we'll clean these. You don't worry about it. It's totally fine. And the CEO of Coinstar was like, yeah, we process like 41 billion pennies every single year. Like, this, we got this. This is totally fine. My favorite thing is that, OK Walker Auto Works is the name of the company, FYI. So they've been getting a flood of negative Google and Yelp reviews because of this penny saga. But my favorite part, and I like cackled so hard, Walker, who's the owner of this company,
Texas Ranger.
So he was accused of creating a hostile work environment. He was terrible. When Flatten, the victim of this whole thing, was questioned by the local media about the strange penny saga, he referred to his ex-employer as, and I quote, a fucking weenie. And I died. A fucking weenie? That's such a good insult. What do you think of your boss? He's a fucking weenie. Hilarious.
What? What?
I don't know why I think it's so funny. That's what I was like, I have to tell the story just so I can be like, he said his boss was a fucking weenie.
I need to know the tone in which this was delivered. Like, I need to know if this was just something he was ready to draw right from the holster, like, he's a fucking weenie. Or if he was like, he's a fucking, and then he was like, oh, I went a little too hard on the first word, so let me then come back to a family-friendly second word. Like, I need to know the thought process of this individual.
I like to imagine that he just calls people that a lot, and so he's like, ah, he's a fucking weenie. Like, it... Just how I read it in my head, that he was just like very matter of fact about it, and weenie was the word that he went with, and
that's amazing.
Me. Yeah.
Want me to go next? Good.
Yes, I do.
The one that tickled me the most was reigning Mrs. World arrested over onstage melee in Sri Lanka.
Okay, reigning Mrs. World. So Mrs. Okay, like beauty pageant stuff. So beauty queen like hit somebody with something while she was on stage. Did she like whack somebody with the mic stand? Like somebody was just being an asshole and she just like was like, you knock that off. I'm on here. You respect my time. Because I would. I absolutely would. Or was it like part of her outfit maybe was a little too long and she like gesticulates a lot and so she thwacked somebody in the face? These are my two options. And she was arrested because how dare.
I fucking love this game. Also, the amount of times that I have gesticulated and then accidentally slapped someone in the face.
Yeah, it's legit.
Alarmingly high. Like, people at this point think I'm doing it on purpose.
Oh, man.
Okay. So.
Okay.
So. There is this international beauty pageant, and it's specifically for married women, and it's called Mrs. World.
Okay.
That's why it's Mrs. World, not Miss.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So
the current reigning queen is from Sri Lanka, and her name is Caroline Jury. So she made headlines last week for literally ripping the crown off of... off of Pushpika De Silva, who had won the title of Mrs. Sri Lanka. So Mrs. World was there, but she rips the crown off this woman's head, puts it on the runner-up's head, turns to the audience and goes, there is a rule that prevents women who have already been married and are divorced. So I am taking steps to make the crown go to second place. And then she walked off stage.
Ooh, drama. She
walked off stage.
Damn.
Now, Jury claimed that the reason De Silva was ineligible for the crown is because she was divorced. But Jury claimed that I am not divorced. I am currently separated. Like, essentially, it's a loophole in the rules where, like, she's not divorced, so she's still eligible, but she's technically separated.
Yeah.
And jury was arrested because Da Silva claimed that she got skull damage when jury ripped the crown off of her head.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And
wow.
Jury, not to be messed with, put up a video and she appears. She has her crown on. She has her sash. She's wearing an evening gown. She's in like mm-hmm. full regalia. And she has, just to set the tone, okay? Her name is Caroline Jury. She was in like a full pageant outfit. And she had those like square French tip acrylics.
Mm-hmm.
So this woman might be from New Jersey. I'm just letting you know.
Yeah.
You know the one.
She's got the vibe. Mm-hmm. As you were describing this, I was like, is this Victoria from The Bachelor?
She has that look. She has like the long dark hair. Yeah. She has the look. But
wow.
In the video, she basically says that she was trying to do her best in standing up for what is right, which are the rules and regulations of the competition, and that they should not be disrespected with loopholes. She also said that while this pageant is not meant to discriminate against divorced or separated women, it is meant to celebrate the dreams of married women, and implied that there are other competitions that Da Silva could have applied to as a separated woman. This is the part of the story where like it was like all like, okay, like, is anyone seriously hurt or was this drama? Like, da 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 da.
Yeah.
But then she issued that statement and it like felt so much like woman against woman bullying.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's also like she already made it that far and wasn't mm-hmm. disqualified. So I, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to do what's right. It's fine. Just put the crown on her and like be done. Yeah. With it.
Well, in her statement, in her video, which was like longer than it should have been, she was like, "It doesn't matter what your character is and your values are behind closed doors. You need to be able to like stand up for what is right, even when all eyes are on you." I'm paraphrasing, but she was basically just like, she equated herself to like. To like, I don't know, being like Tony Stark and like killing herself for the sake of saving the world. Like it was that level of like, this is what I did. But then she relinquished her crown because she yeah. I guess was forced to give it up.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. You like assaulted somebody on stage. Yeah. Like you're gonna be like, yeah. Can you give us that, please?
But damn. I will say, as someone that has accidentally ripped out a chunk of hair before from my own head, you get over it. You get over it.
Builds character.
It's painful at first, but then you move on with your life. You're up, dude.
Obsessed. Okay. Royal mummies paraded through downtown. I feel like I saw this one.
Royal mummies paraded through downtown.
Yeah.
Is this like Prince Philip's funeral procession?
I thought you were going to bring up Brendan Fraser. And you were going to be like, does this have anything to do with our boy Brendan? And I was like, I'm ready for this joke. Was not ready for that one. But no. No, he's not okay. included. But colonization is definitely involved. You know what I mean?
Were there mummies that were dug up and sent over and like real life mummies that were then like put in a glass case and driven on the back of a truck around like a downtown somewhere?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
And is this downtown in America?
No.
It's abroad.
It is very abroad.
Is it in Egypt?
Yes.
Is it in Cairo?
It is.
Cairo's on my list of places to visit. I think it's so beautiful there.
I think you'll really like the story then. But I want to see if there's anything else that you're like,
Yes, it was a family of mummies that died from the plague and they were all wrapped and buried together. And so you can see the adult partners hugging each other and cradled between them are their little deceased baby mummies.
Oh, not quite, but that's okay. Cute. I will say, well, I'm going to admit right now, I did cut out part of the title because I was like, I don't want to give everything away.
Yeah.
The full title, Royal Mummies Paraded Through Downtown Cairo in Museum Move. So since you were like, I want to go to Cairo. This was the homecoming for 22 mummified members of ancient Egyptian royalty. So like King Tutankhamun, Pharaoh Ramses II, like all of the like Egyptian royalty from 3,000 years ago that has been like, were colonization, you know, colonizers and all of that nonsense.
I was going to ask, dug them where have up. They been?
They've been at like the British National Museum. I know, God, I think it was like 12. I know the National History Museum in Los Angeles had King Tut at one point in time. So these mummies have been like all over the world doing like their world tour, being on display. And essentially what happened is they've gotten all of the mummies back together and they sent them back to Egypt. And they did this huge parade. You can watch videos online. It's gorgeous. They did like a cannon salute. They had people dressed up in like the traditional, I don't want to say like traditional Egyptian garb, but like the, when you think of like ancient Egypt, the wardrobe that they wore, the makeup, like people are glamour. Decked out. Yes. And music is playing. They have this giant orchestra play to welcome these mummies home. But what they did on these cars is, I think you can see, yeah, you can see the caskets kind of like up at the top. These have,
oh my God.
Right?
What am I looking at?
It looks like a tank. What?
I think it is a tank, but it has all of these gilded golden overlays. It's
stunning.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. There's like a whole fleet of them.
Yeah, there's 22 total, I believe. And so what they did with these trucks is they like they've basically got like wild suspension on them, so that way the mummies aren't being jostled at all. They have them sort of like sealed and temperature controlled. And what they're doing is they are bringing them back to the National Museum of Egyptian Civilization. And in a few weeks, I think beginning in like mid-April, they will be on display. But they're bringing them back to Egypt versus wherever they've been, which is all over the world.
It's beautiful. The photos you sent me of the ceremony are like the dancers and all of the people. And it's just such an incredible celebration of culture. And I can't help but feel like good for them. Like they absolutely deserve to give their royalty a Beyonce, like, a Beyonce concert level of welcome home. Also, like all these pompous, egotistical curators at all of these museums taking these corpses and putting them on display. Meanwhile, I get arrested if I'm in the cemetery with a shovel. That's I'm the problem.
Yeah. Well, and I know there's been a lot of like conversation, especially around archaeologists, of like not removing things, especially in like burial grounds. Like they were put there for a reason. Like leave them alone. There's, if you've seen Black Panther, one of my favorite scenes is that scene with Killmonger in British Museum, where he's looking at these like African artifacts and a curator comes up and she's like, oh yes, I'm an expert. And he's like, oh really? And he's like, I'm taking this back. Like it's one of my
Michael
favorite
B.
scenes.
Jordan.
I love him. But yeah, it's like that shit doesn't belong to you, man.
No. And also like the added thing of like, this is a person. This was a living, breathing person. Like it isn't like you stole a royal crown and then displayed it, right? Because you found it enshrined somewhere. Yeah. Like this is literally a corpse of someone who was a living person.
Yeah. Well, and they believe in, you know, so many cultures, like that is your resting place. That's where you get to go and be one with the gods or like move on to heaven. So to disrupt that. Like, let them rest, man. Like, leave them be.
I hope that now that they are in their rightful resting places, they can essentially control or reign over as royalty an entire fleet, an entire arsenal, artillery, whatever the things are, of just like ghost warriors.
This really is turning into the mummy. Now they can control the undead soldiers.
But they like, yeah. And then they like go back at the people who are just making all of this money and building their reputations on peddling stolen artifacts of these incredible civilizations.
What we're saying is museums, watch out. Just watch out. You might have more ghosts. You might have some undead Egyptian soldiers strolling up. That could you?
And if you need help with that, be sure to call the Real Ghost Hunters of Malibu.
We'll get our horses all saddled up for you.
That was our last episode of the PNE. So if you haven't heard it, listeners, please go check it out. We talk about paranormal encounters.
It's pretty wild.
Some of the stories are had me on the edge of my seat and like nervous. It was fun.
So many spirit bumps.
Yeah. No, but I love that. Welcome back home.
Yeah. I think it's beautiful. What do you got for me?
Two masked bandits raid California bank and they didn't want money, officials say.
Is this the sticky bandits from Home Alone? Like, they didn't want money, but they raided a bank? Do they want a mortgage?
Between me just going to the Pesci place about the cemetery shovel joke to you now literally talking about Joe Pesci in one of his pivotal roles.
Yes. Oh, my God.
There are three celebrities we talk about ad nauseum on this podcast. Brendan Fraser, Joe Pesci, and Celine Dion. Ever since the challenge has been extended to me to feature her in every episode. Just you wait. I have a little wink, wink, a little gift.
A little something.
So go on.
Yeah. Okay. So two masked bandits. Okay. Raid makes me think of bug spray. Masked bandits. Are they raccoons? Is it two raccoons? Yes. I was like, who in the animal kingdom is a masked bandit? Raccoons, trash pandas. I love them. They're chaos.
I do too.
Did they like break in? Did they like fall from the ceiling tile and they're just like rifling around, like eating somebody's leftover lunch? They just like open up the break room fridge and they're like stealing Barbara's yogurt and just eating it with their little hands. Is that what happened? Because that's what I want to happen. I just want them like chowing down on somebody's like Snicker stash in their cubicle.
I can't breathe. I'm laughing so hard. I can't breathe. I want someone to do that to Barbara's yogurt because Barbara's a fucking bitch.
Oh, man.
That was the most beautiful guess I would have ever guessed. You almost nailed it.
Was I right about the raccoons?
You nailed it, and then you went a little too descriptive.
Okay. That's, too specific.
So, yes. In Redwood City, here in the Bay Area,
amazing.
Two raccoons got into a bank. The employees all freaked out, and you can see the photos of the raccoons as they, like, scurry into a manager's office and then, like, stand up. Have like a little conference of like where to go next and then leave and go to another room.
Oh.
And so they were basically just like running around this bank and they called the Humane Society to be like, hey, animal control, like someone, we have two fucking raccoons running around. Rick's trying to close a mortgage. Like, we need some help. So,
God.
There is a statement from the Peninsula Humane Society and SPCA communication manager, Buffy Martin Tarbox. What a title.
That's a made up name.
What a title. What a name.
Amazing.
Okay, Buffy Martin Tarbox.
Okay.
And the quote is this. There were muddy paw prints on a tree outside the bank, so we suspect the raccoons climbed the tree to the roof of the building and then somehow managed to crawl into the air ducts and fall through the ceiling tiles onto the floor of the bank, which you guessed right. There were several broken ceiling tiles and the masked bandits, this is a direct quote, and the masked bandits knocked papers around and even a computer over. Thankfully, the raccoons were not injured during their morning escapade, and to our knowledge, they didn't abscond with any money. That is a formal statement from Buffy Martin Tarbox, communications manager.
Oh my god!
Of the SPCA in the Peninsula area.
I'm obsessed. I love that. I love raccoons. They're such like little gremlins. And they're
what
huge.
Do you do? What do you do if you're literally sitting in your office trying to close a mortgage or a loan agreement?
Oh, man.
And, you know, it's just like a regular day. It's quiet. There's no music playing. You got the tellers behind there, you know, opening up their, open up their registers for the day. You got the managers in the back with their meetings there. Everyone's drinking coffee, super mellow, just waiting for people to come in. And then, boom! Two raccoons just drop from the ceiling. Like, what do you do?
Probably pee myself. Are they falling through my ceiling tiles in my office? Or is it, like, adjacent? If it's in my office, I will probably panic a little bit. But I will say, like, once I realize, like, oh, it's raccoons.
In your office, yeah. Between you and the door is closed.
Oh, man. Well, hopefully I have snacks or something that I can just, like, throw into a corner. And just distract them, get out. And then we like, I need more snacks to lure them out. ET situation, I'm just going to like breadcrumb that to the nearest door. Tell people like everybody stay calm. I've peed myself, but like I need you to just chill. I feel like raccoons are mischievous, but mostly they're very food motivated. I feel like you could get them out with like some well-placed, you know, Reese's Pieces. Like, yeah.
Ooh, Reese's Pieces. Ooh.
I know.
I'm stuck on ET.
Oh, yeah. If we're talking about office snacks, it's probably going to be like shitty trail mix. But, you know, I feel like they'll chow down on that.
Just the dust that's left in your purse after opening a Nutravalley, Nutri-Granola Valley bar.
Just shake your bag down the hallway so they follow it out.
Jingle jangle like a court jester.
Is this podcast? What?
This is my favorite episode we've ever done.
Absolutely. I feel like we've wheezed every time. We just keep upping the game. Do you want to hear about bees or do you want to hear about Kentucky University or University of Kentucky?
Bees.
Okay.
Because I saw the Kentucky headline. I did not see a bees headline.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. A New Mexico man went to the grocery store while he was shopping. Bees moved into his car.
He what? And then they...
He went grocery shopping. And while he was shopping for produce, bees moved into his car.
I feel like here's the thing with bugs mm-hmm. that freaks me out about them. And I understand everything. Bees, honey, beautiful environment, da 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 da. Mm-hmm. Bugs will get in anywhere.
Yeah.
So... You know, this guy like didn't even need to have a window cracked. These bees just came into his car. Like this is just how bees work. They're very intrusive. Mm-hmm. And so they get in his car. Thankfully, Bob didn't take his dog to work that day. So they're in his car. How many did you say? Did you say how many?
I didn't say how many.
So it could be anywhere from like 2 to 2 million bees got into this mm-hmm. man's car.
Yep.
I'm going to assume for the sake of the story, it's enough bees to where it's very, very alarming, but not enough that you see it from a distance. So like this guy didn't look at his car as he was leaving the store and see that it was full of bees. But as he got closer, he's like, oh, what's going on there? And then like, maybe he's like 2 feet from the car, a foot from the car. And he's like, fuck, those are bees, man. Like, that's how I imagine it. So I would say like, maybe in like the, I don't know, like upper thousands.
I'm going to take you on a roller coaster of a ride with this one. Do you have any more guesses?
But then also, I think so. My guess as to how they were removed once this man called Buffy Martin Tarbox to be like, yo, ASPCA, come through, I got bees, is then they called the on the go Coinstar man with his vacuum to come and suck in all the bees. And that is how we wrap everything up nicely. Oh, full circle. My Thank God. You. Good night.
I wish. Okay. You're going to be. You gave this guy way too much credit, first of all. Oh, no. Let me just say. Oh, no. So, our person in question strolled up to parked at an Albertsons parking lot to do his grocery shopping and left the windows cracked open because it was hot or something. Okay. So he left the windows were down. He goes, he buys his produce, he buys his meals for the week, comes back, he puts his groceries in the back seat of the car, gets in the car, begins driving away when he notices that there's a buzzing happening. And he turns around and he sees 15,000 bees are in his car. Pulls over and stops. They've like started to make a hive in his like back seat, like near the window. He gets out, calls 911. They send the fire department. So my favorite part of this story
to burn the car, right? You can't just drive it anymore. Just,
yeah. Well, they called to like have them remove it.
One of their department set fires.
Well,
I need one. No. Oh no! Here's,
like,
oh no!
No! No! No! This is like I was like this is kind of sweet. One of their like off duty firemen for their like what the hell are they called? Like firehouse is a beekeeper. So they called him and he brought all of his beekeeping equipment. Like he brought a hive. He came in his little beekeeper suit and he collected the bees to relocate them. And that is how that was taken care of. The security guard for Albertsons was stung. They don't know if there were any other victims of a bee sting. Somehow the driver managed to not get stung at all, which, like, you know, bees
That's
are
pretty great.
Chill, but I am, or at least it wasn't mentioned, which I'm surprised about because, like, they are starting to build a home and you are moving their home, sir. Like, I'm surprised they didn't lose their goddamn mind. Mm-hmm. I don't understand how he got, like, to his car, put groceries in the backseat, got in the car, began to drive away, and didn't notice, like, an entire hive of bees in his backseat. Like, whatever. But my favorite part is that there's a little, just a little beekeeper at the end who's like, I got it. It's fine. This is why you got, like, our fire departments need more funding. Anyway.
Let me just tell you. Let me just tell you right now. I have always had a very big problem with firemen.
Oh, I was going to say with bees.
That I am I'm very attracted to them, all mm-hmm. of them, and they break my heart.
That's fair. I mean, it's not fair, but yeah.
So you're telling me that a fireman exists whose hobby on the weekends is to be a beekeeper, mm-hmm. like
just beekeeping.
Excuse me, bees.
You just be keeping bees. Yeah, I know.
My ovaries help.
SOS. I also love that he was off duty and was like, yeah, I'll come down and help with this situation. Just let me put my little beekeeping hazmat suit on. I'll be right there.
That part where you were like, he pulls over and calls 911. If I was on the road and I realized that there is a nest of thousands yeah, of bees
like
in
15,000.
My fucking car,
mm-hmm.
I would have lost my shit. I would have probably caused a huge accident. I would have freaked out. Like,
he was still in the parking lot. Like, he hadn't left the parking lot. So I think, you know, he was driving 5 to 10 miles an hour. Someday.
I would have crashed into 5 separate cars that weren't even parked next to each other.
He just would have hit the accelerator and be like, fuck it.
Yep. Yep.
I don't think it's like mentioned. It didn't mention how or why he didn't notice the bees, but like bees are kind of loud. Like, did you not hear them? I have a lot of questions for this person. Did you not hear them? How did you not see them? Were you not suspicious as you got closer to your car? There seemed to be more bees flying around. What? Like,
no, he got in his car and he blasted his Celine Dion immediately. And
there
I mean,
it is.
Why? there are two more coming.
Oh, I'm excited.
And then he was just like jamming going down the road until a few probably buzzed near his head. And he was probably like, why is there more than one bee in my car?
Yeah.
Out of 15,000. Yeah.
All right. Do you have another one for me?
I have a final one.
Great.
British man changes name to Celine Dion.
That's it. That's the story. Is he a Celine Dion impersonator? Is he a huge Celine Dion fan? Does he just like the way it sounds? I do have questions, but at the same time, that's all the information I think I know, is just to know that that's happening. Is he doing it so that way he hopes that, like, people will accidentally send him her fan mail? Or is he going to be super... No, I don't know. I'm like, is he trying to, like, convince people that he is Celine Dion so they give him her money? Like, what's the plan here? I have so many questions. Does he think that he'll get a residency in Vegas? Okay, I'm done theorizing.
Those are excellent theories. Much like I gave your gentleman with the bees.
Uh-oh.
Too much credit.
Oh, no.
You have given this man too much credit. So, a man, 30-year-old man, formerly known as Thomas Dodd from Staffordshire, England.
Oh, no. Did he lose a dare?
He has been on lockdown, looks like by himself. And he has been watching all of, like, the concerts and everything Celine Dion lockdown. And he's, like, become a super fan. On Christmas Eve, he was by himself watching one of her concerts with a magnum of champagne.
Oh, no.
And he, like, got the idea and went online, paid £89 for the online application to change his name, and then passed out, and then woke up and forgot about it. So what happened was... Basically, he used this service to be able to fill out the paperwork, but he still needed to sign it.
Uh-huh.
So days later, he gets the document, the contract in the mail, and he has to physically sign it. And only at that point does he realize what he did, that he submitted for a name change and for that name to be Celine Dion. And he is quoted in this article as saying, "Initially, I had to sit down as I couldn't believe it. So I then checked my bank account, which confirmed it all. Once it sank in, God. I signed it straight away as I bloody love her." So he made the decision on a drunken mind with a magnum of champagne. And then his sober self days later confirmed it with his signature. And so his name is officially now Celine Dion. And he says that the only thing he hopes to achieve is hopefully it will give people a laugh, even if it is at my expense.
Oh, it absolutely did. I
But how sweet is that? This is just a wholesome love for Celine Dion.
This is cute. Because
obviously, why not?
I love that. I love that, like, because I think we all make those, like, weird drunk purchases, and a lot of times we're like, this is a thing that I wanted, or I'm going to return this. I love that he was like, I could go either way on this. I could, like, keep my name. You know what? No. Drunk me had a great idea, and I'm going to fully embrace it. Like, I'm obsessed. Follow that's amazing. Follow the dopamine.
Yep.
Follow the dopamine. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's amazing. Whew.
This was probably our most... I've been having the most fun.
Oh, yeah. I've been having a great time.
So hard. So before we get to our recos, I wanted to introduce, like, a little bit of a mini segment. So one of my favorite things is I love obscure holidays, because there is every day is a holiday of some sort, and so many crazy holidays exist. And so I just love the lesser known holidays. And so what I would love to do is before we get into our recs, just do a quick run through of what the holidays will be like on the day this episode goes up.
Okay.
So April 15th, when this episode goes up, it is World Art Day.
Oh, perfect timing.
It is National High Five Day.
Cute, but high five the people you're quarantining with.
Yes. It is Rubber Eraser Day.
What?
It's a day for rubber erasers, and it's...
All right.
And it's on the 15th, yeah.
Amazing.
take a wild guess day. That sucks day. So a lot of emotions. You got high fives, you got wild guessing, you got everything sucks, but it's also eraser art season. And finally, I give you this. It is Titanic Remembrance Day. Far across the distance. Just cost us $2.7 million just attempting to sing that.
Worth just kidding. It's worth every penny.
Please don't sue us.
Please.
It wasn't even on us. Key. So that's with that, amazing. With that, what's your reco of the week for the people?
Yeah. My reco of the week is my reco of the week, and I've talked about this podcast before. But again, I'm doubling down. Another fucking horror podcast. They're so fun. If you like true crime and paranormal stuff, definitely recommend that. Give them a listen. Monique and Amy are lovely. And I'll post it on our Instagram, but the TikTok that I mentioned at the top of the show, if you are interested in doing shadow work. She's got a lot of really dope stuff on her page. You go ahead, and then I will look up her handle, so that way I can be like, this is the person. Go follow them.
Okay. So I thought I had my reco locked in, and now I have two recos. And I hope you'll forgive me for having two. I truly couldn't narrow it down. So one is the film Concrete Cowboy that came out on Netflix starring Caleb, I forget his last name, the actor from Stranger Things.
Yep.
It has a really great cast. And it's about the Fletcher Street Cowboys of the Fletcher Street Riders, I'm sorry, of Philadelphia. So talks a lot about Black rancher, Black cowboy culture and how it's staying alive in the, you know, the urban environments in our country, in America, as well as all across the country. But I know, I think you were saying Compton has I think Detroit might as well, I want to say. So it's really cool. And it's an amazing, it's a great film. It's adapted from a novel, a young adult novel called Ghetto Cowboy. And it's just, it's a great coming of age story. The cinematography and the direction is stunning.
I'm excited to watch it.
Like the way that it came together, like from an art, from the art of filmmaking is just, I enjoyed it. And my second is also a film. And it's also one that I really, really loved the cinematography and the composition and how it all came together and just the art of it. It came out in 2018. It's also on Netflix. It's called An Evening with Beverly Loughlin.
Okay.
And it stars Aubrey Plaza, Emile Hirsch, Jermaine Clement of Flight of the Conchords fame.
Yes.
And Craig Robinson and Matt Berry, who is also Flight of the Conchords.
I believe.
Or What We Do in the Shadows. Like that. It's group. Yeah. And then Craig Robinson. And it is absurdist cinema is the genre. It is like a film noir-esque absurdist cinema. It is like if Seth Rogen and Wes Anderson came together and made a film that was co-written by Aubrey Plaza, this is the result of, this is this film. So two films on very separate sides of the spectrum for me.
Yeah.
But highly recommend. I think Concrete Cowboy is one that's going to be a little bit more easily digestible by more people. Mm-hmm. And it's a great watch and it's a really great culture to not lose awareness around and not, you know, help support if you can. And then the other one was just kind of like a bonus reco of if you want to see something weird and quirky and makes you uncomfortable but is also really funny if you lean into it. Like Garrett hated it. Garrett was like, that was horrible, that was such a weird movie. I was like, I love it, I could not stop laughing.
Weird is good. Oh man, that's so dope. Thank you for both of those. I'm excited to watch Concrete Cowboy. Yeah, I added it to my list. Also, I found the TikTok that I will post on our Instagram. The account is Jenny Rosebutt. What?
Rosebutt?
Rosebutt. B-U-T-T? Yeah, it's J-E-N-N-I-R-O-S-E-B-U-T-T. Nice. Is the TikTok. Nice. And it's called Quick Shadow Work Exercise.
Okay, awesome. And we'll repost it on our social at the P&E Podcast. Do us a favor, head over there, give us a follow, DM us if you have any comments, questions, concerns. Same for Twitter, TikTok, all the socials. Head to our website, thepeonypodcast.com, to catch any show notes. Or don't. I don't care. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Wait. Okay. I have a legitimate recommendation. Sorry. Not that the other people
are
not. Wow.
I was wrapping it up.
I'm sorry. I just looked over and I was like, oh, I have a burning right now. If you guys are looking for candles, if you're into that, head over to Pretty Honest Candles. It's black owned, women owned. The candles smell like goddamn heaven. This is not an ad. I just looked over and I was like, wait, no, this is one that I like get really excited about. Okay. Sorry. That's it.
No, don't apologize. One, I love that. I'm going to check it out. What do you think heaven smells like?
I guess just my favorite scents, which are going to be like books, like a big mug of like hot coffee, and then maybe like a nice like floral scent, but not anything overpowering, if that makes any sense. Like I love the smell of honeysuckle. So I'm going to go with that. Yeah. I just picked my favorite scents. And I was like, I love that. What about you?
I think it's probably like the thing that brings you the most joy. Mine is the scent of a Sunday morning where you wake up and you're woken up naturally by the sun. You don't oversleep. You get up at a reasonable hour naturally. You get up, you have a pot of tea. You have your breakfast that you can leisurely eat. You have your paper of choice. Mine is the Sunday Times. So, and being able to, in the sunlight while sitting, sipping my pot of tea slowly for hours and hours, read the Sunday edition of the New York Times from cover to cover, every section. And no one talks to me. No one touches me. No one even comes near me. Like just a solid 5 hours of that. That's what it smells like. Sunlight, newspapers, and like a beautiful like bergamot Earl Grey tea.
That sounds so good.
I think I just turned myself on a little bit. Thank you so much for listening.
Follow us
everywhere.
Like, subscribe, blah, blah, blah. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of The P&E, where we believe that culture informs all that we do and art can truly be anything. If you like this episode, please leave us a review, rate us, tell all your friends to subscribe, follow, download. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. Talk to you soon. Yeah,